Hey everyone, Chicken Eater 3, Shiny Frost, we're here to bring you the Season 144 Endgame Preview. So this is the episode where we look at everyone's Endgame builds. I think about 90-95% of the players have their final build. So we're going to take a look at what our competitive players are doing and also make some speculations about some people who look like they're about to go to by level 27. So before we get into that, how are you guys doing?
Well, for me, I feel like my journey this season has been the best since I've come back, actually. I feel really good about how I've been able to maneuver through the bi-levels. I did have that one very uncomfortable day. I think I recorded that day, too. The Cav and the Strongman. That was a disaster. But other than that, everything else was cool. It's been pretty good so far. That said, I've probably just manifested a loss tomorrow, so... I'll be in the HD Rage channel.
Nice. Who are you losing to? If you had to lose to someone.
Oh man, let's see. Like, I don't even on the spot. Hey, top 10. Who's in the top 10 or 11 right now? Might be fun to lose to like something anti-meta, something maybe a crit from. Actually, I did get backdoored by Azrael when he had that offensive knight or not knight Duke.
Yeah.
Maybe like getting backdoored by someone, maybe like a counter situation where like my knight gets countered and then a deaf knight kills my bow. That could be fun.
Yeah. And Shani, what's up? How's your season going?
Good. I've been about as clean as I can be for having 10 attacks. I've been self-conscious ever since Frost called me out in the general board the other day saying that 10 was no man's land. And I've just been thinking like, man, there's no way I'm going to recover from 10. Like, I'm starting to feel that, but... Outside of that, it's been going well. I caught an executioner in the merchant, which, you know, that put me a day ahead on my executioner. My original plan was to keep the berserker as, like, my primary, just to do something different from what happened last season, just to see how it went. But now that I have a executioner that's two or three levels ahead of it, I would be silly to start pitting that from behind. So I'm going primary on my executioner.
Good. Everyone seems to be giving you crap. Like, Frost telling you you're no man's land with the attacks. I'm telling you you're no man's land with the pickleball. No man's land.
It doesn't matter what I say if you beat me, though, man. So just stay ahead and you can shut me up real quick.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, like, everything's been fine. Today I maxed out, and I'm going to try to force myself to max out every day. This season is a lot more comfortable than the previous season. I did not make that, like, mistake-ridden day when I transitioned. I think transitioning with two mercs is pretty challenging because you kind of have to pick one sort of section of your triangle that's missing, and then you just can't attack some of the players that attack that missing section of your triangle. So that was weird. I did not film that day because I spent like an hour doing those attacks probably. but now that all things said and done, pretty comfortable with myself, and I think my build this season is a smarter version of what I did last season. So before we get into some game updates, how are your alliances going? Like, what's the alliance vibe that like?
Knights of the Round has been pretty fun. Lancelot has been leading the 9 attack pack, and that has been fun for everybody to root for. So that's what the entire focus is on, Lancelot, pretty much right now.
Yeah, guy's a total gamer.
Hey, he's just been playing out of his mind. He's killing it.
Yeah, it's like a different person. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see that with him, for sure. Yeah.
And how's the
Illuminati, it's been interesting. Been working with a few people in the alliance. We have some new blood, so we welcome Josher and J-Mai, formerly known as Tonka, into the fold. I've been working with J-Mai a bit. He's struggled the last couple of days, but we had a really good session today. Him and I worked through sort of his attacks, and I think I've got some expectations for him this season. So if you're watching, better keep it up. Remember what I told you this morning. We've been using our Discord a little bit more. I think in the past we're sort of that like old vet team that like we all kind of know what we're doing, and so we're not necessarily like the chattiest bunch about, oh, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing there? But I've been a little bit more hands-on this season with the Alliance and really want them to use the Discord a bit more to facilitate conversations. So I've enjoyed that. And yeah, I mean, I think we've got a good group of people. The vibes are good. And we'll see how it all sorts itself out at the end.
Awesome. Yeah, you have two of the more unique players this season, so we'll get into that later. So don't close this video. Yeah, Illuminati's interesting. So chicken's
Definitely.
also pretty cool. Like we have, I think, the biggest concentration of two Merc Rushers for nine attack. I'm not pressuring them to do that. It just so happened that like Cheech, Bagel, and the Rat and myself did the two Merc nine attack rush. Which is really interesting. And then Bagel hit 27 and first to 27. I think that was really nice. It's been really clean. And so we'll see what the potential of my level 27 is this season. So let's do a quick thing about the game updates. We have some new stuff on the museum. So we have a past winners section where you can look at how many shiny medals YB has won and then Jib's other various accomplishments. You can see it's like 90% Jib, but this is what winners of HD look like, and it's kind of a shame Melchi isn't playing, or is it Melky? I'm not sure, but maybe they'll come back in the future. Maybe look at that email. So that's one really neat update. Another neat update is that the homepage now shows the jousting matches, gladiator pit, and archery range. It looks like you're on a portal for your like schoolwork and you're just like haven't done anything. You haven't done nothing. But it looks like, yeah, Shiny has to attack still. So we're just viewing this on Shiny's account, I guess. So it reminds you that you have jousting remaining, glad pits, and archery range, which is pretty informative. I would say that's pretty cool. And then the last thing is we want to show you the Elation calculator. It was made by one of our own players, Elation, who just got back into the game. And I think he said he took like some sick days because he wasn't feeling too well and he just made this. So thank you so much for making it. It's got really cool visuals. Do you want to play with it a little bit and see how it works?
I mean, the coolest part is you can just, you don't have to go through, choose your armor. It's probably the most effective tool for doing anything like this. Lancelot has had spreadsheets in the past, but they were a little cumbersome to manipulate. But here you just choose the heavy armor, you can switch the armor real easily, and it's got all the stats right there. It's the fastest, best input of anything we've had in the game in 20 years, so it's awesome.
Question. How did he code the level 56 helm?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oh.
Let's see if we go into 56. And then it was the helmet. So is it the medium one?
I don't
It's
know. I have no
minus.
clue.
It doesn't look like anything is adding stats.
Yeah.
So we'll
All right.
see. Yeah, we'll have to see. Is it 56? Okay.
Yeah. Let me double check. I'm 99% sure. Let me see. Yeah, it's the tempered plate helm. It's the level 56 helm. It's
Interesting.
just
It's pulling
random.
48 helms here. So let me go up to 57. Maybe something is just off. No, these are only, it only goes up to 48 for the helmets, it looks like. So maybe there's some data missing.
Okay, I see. All right.
If
Well,
it's
yeah.
wool-centric, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, Mercs don't really get up that high. So, actually, you probably could get a Merc that high. Like, if you just started with a short bowman and you never replaced it. Like, I mean, I have six slots. One of them could be a short bowman. All right. Yeah, that's kind of nonsensical. All right, let's look at some builds. So we have three categories of builds. We have by level 27, we have by level 20, and then we have Donut. So Donut gets his own category because For the longest time, he led people into believing that he was staying at 14, but then it looks like he's transitioning. So I'm not really sure where he's going, but we just put him in a separate category because his path is so different. So by level 27, I think the first guy to talk about is definitely Jib. So Donut messaged everyone in the Discord today, and he said, how scared are you guys that the guy ranked number one is hitting by level 27 tomorrow? And I think, like, I think currently Azrael is number one, but Jib was number one the last reset, I believe. And yeah, Monster by level 27. So he's got four Merc slots, and it looks like, yeah, you can tell that when he's keeping his Duke, that something is up with his build. Yeah, that Duke is a dead giveaway. So with four slots, what do you think he's going to do? Like, what do you think he's going to transition into? Will he have more slots, or will he keep these?
I can see him keeping the four slots. You know, I look at Jib as sort of the mad scientist of HD. And he kind of makes a lot of different things work. I wouldn't be surprised if he used the Chainsman. I know that that's been used in the past by other players. Yeah, I think he's going to keep the four Mercs. I think he's going to want to place competitively with by level 27.
Hmm. Yeah. And Shiny, any guesses on what this mad scientist is up to here?
Yeah, I think we'll probably see something similar to what Bagel did, but on a smaller scale. We'll have something that will counter the meta. It will be his goal. He'll probably have some whips or some knives in there, and it'll be an offensive melee. I don't want to call it crapshoot, but crapshoot.
Yeah, offensive melee is tricky. And yeah, what Bagel did last season was just simply overkill. I don't think she needed that many mercs. It was just like the level of uncertainty. So it's like, okay, I'm going to have four Chainsmen now. But Chainsman damage was buffed. All Whitman damage was buffed. So perhaps this is the right opportunity to try it out and see how it fares in the competitive field. So then for by level 27, Bagel has 100% hit by level 27. I think today she played her second day with by level 27. It's basically the four shard build from last season, but she kept the knight because the Baron does not go negative speed. It's very, very stubborn. And so I think keeping the knight was a smart move. It's the same thing as like keeping the executioner if you're doing the mass mounted sort of setup from before. And then, you know, it kind of proved to be not effective. But yeah, so that was that's 27. And then we have a few maybes. We have Nova, Ivory, and Scotty Dog. So here's Nova, and it kind of gives it away because there's a Legionnaire in there and a Duke with a Knight. So this looks like it's still pivoting. Yep, right here, the Enforcer. And then who do we have next here? We have Ivory. So Ivory has some babies here. And then a Strongman. It's just this random Strongman.
Interesting.
Yeah. No idea what's going to happen. Maybe they're just hoping for a merchant something, you know. Maybe Jib's mercs are looking
good. Yeah. This reminds me of an old school sort of transition. Like, a lot of times back, like, many years ago, you would keep, like, sort of the fixture, the strongest, pun not intended, part of your setup, and try and build around that. And then once you felt like you had enough security, you'd replace it. But I don't know. If they're hoping that the whip's going to outpace the strongman and provide more value, I don't know about that. But maybe to your point, they're waiting for merchant mercs, right? We're going to see if you hit the market.
Yeah, because I know Ivory merchants hard in Yorkshire.
Yes.
So,
and yeah, their transition's very similar there, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they were looking out for other mercs in there. And then the last one we have is Scotty Dog. So Scotty Dog has the Bagel Archer. So we know he has the Bagel Archer because we told her to allocate to agility. We were like, okay, what is like the least useful stat you can allocate to? And I think it would have been like, okay, if it was like two agility, one defense, and one HP or something. But we're like, okay, just like grief your mercs, because we were kind of wanting to deter people from by level, you know, 11 daily attacks, slower by level hit into buying these mercs. So that's the Bagel Archer. And then the rest is there's an Enforcer, a Knight, and a Duke. So this seems kind of transition-y too. Yeah, it's interesting. And, wow, that composite bowman is level 17.
Yeah, no, that caught me off guard today when I spied Scotty. I know that Scotty's picked up like a couple of Dukes on the merchant already this season, so he's had a pretty good season at the merchant. And it just goes to show that if you invest the time and you're lucky enough, you can pick up a merc that can really change the trajectory of your season, right? Like if he had to raise a new bowman right now, you know, like, I'm sure his attacks today went a lot better than they would have if he didn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
but, this build has really, really thin front line. Basically, yes, the only thing guarding the bow is the one Enforcer.
Exactly, and that doesn't even have a ton of agility right now either. And from an accuracy standpoint, it's not going to fulfill his intended purpose, right? I think knowing Scotty over the years, he's always tried to like zag when everyone zigs, and he's the kind of player that would want to pick up an Enforcer to hopefully like crit Axeman, but with 67 agility as of last reset, I don't think that's really going to be super impactful at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because accuracy definitely needs some work, but it's level 8, it's got room for growth, and
yeah,
hopefully he grows it in a good direction that will help him.
So agreed.
Those are the by level 27 players that we've kind of noticed. Of course, anybody can go by level 27. We saw PJM in the museum with by level 23. So I assume that she will eventually get to by level 27 as well. So there's that. And then maybe we can check out Donut. Donut is in his own category here. So this is Donut with the by level 14, except he looks like he sold the Duke and the Legionnaire, one of the Legionnaires, the weaker one. So what's going on here? Is he like going half and half?
I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I think it looks like he's transitioning. Maybe he's did some reconsidering, because I know, like, you know, he did speak very publicly about, you know, sticking to by level 14, and did a bunch of calculations. But I think as, you know, the by level 20 crew hit their level 16 arrows, he realized that he might not be able to keep up. And it looks like the only reason why he would sell that Duke is to pick up something that would seal the back door better. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you sold that, what are you selling that for?
Hopefully it's not the Bagel Knight. No, the Bagel still has a knight. Never mind. It's not. It can't be the Bagel Knight.
Yeah, that's right, because they kept the knight.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see tomorrow. So
yeah, definitely see tomorrow.
Spy Donut. Don't get lazy.
I do think it's interesting, though. I do want to say about him before we move on. There is, if we were to sort of label his strategy, I don't know if he intended to do this, but it's almost like it's a delayed rush. So he did a bi-level rush, and then he pivoted real hard to stack on attacks. And then if he does settle into bi-level 20, it does make me think, if he were to have settled into bi-level 20 a little sooner, how would that look? Like, I don't know. Him playing this way and not just going right to 20, it kind of made me think a little bit. Like, I don't know how that would be in future seasons, but if he did it a little sooner. But
I think it's kind of a hard sell. Like, it would be very hard to convince me to play like that. I just think it's better to spend more time with your mercs. So if you have the ability to hit faster, just hit faster. Because like the attacks later in the season are worth more anyway, so you make up a lot of ground anyways. So like the amount of XP I'm conceding playing like with 9 attacks is like peanuts compared to, you know, what we're earning at the end.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what he transitions to. Maybe he found something in the merchant. Maybe he has some babies. We will find out. So we split the by level 20 people into 3 main groups. 11 attack, 10 attack, and 9 attack. And the reason we did that was the 11 attack played with a different cadence, and they generally have lower level mercs, but more experience. The exception being this guy, who merchanted really hard. He has the level 14 executioner, and you can see that his knight is developed, his composite bowman is kind of developed, and then he has that baby executioner. So this is the double executioner. So Frost is also playing the double executioner. Do you want to comment on this build?
Sure. I mean, first of all, I think it's, you know, like I said about the merchant and how you can pick up something that can change the trajectory of your season, I think this is a perfect example. I think he's very fortunate to have picked this up, because based on his cadence, he should have two executioners at level 8. And that 6 level difference is absolutely huge. So I think that's a really good find for him. And he's very lucky. In terms of the double executioner versus, I guess, what we've defined as the 4 shard build with one rogue, one axe, one bow, and one knight, I think that's going to be a centric theme to this season, to see how it plays out. How are the people who go with two axes going to deal with longer battle scripts, critical hits? What are they going to do to protect themselves, right? And so I would imagine, as a player myself playing double axe, that's something I'm already thinking about. And I would imagine that a player's experience as Azrael's doing the same thing. What can he do? What can I do to mitigate that risk while still maximizing the benefits of running two axe, right? So the HP, the defense, and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And Shiny, this guy's in your team. So what do you have to say about his position currently? Because he's being compared to your mercs right now. Would you attack him today? Probably, right?
I mean, looking at it, probably. I think he'll probably be not like, you know, the first couple attacks, but he'll be there. I haven't done any of his spying, but I mean, you can see my mercs there, right there next to him. I also was lucky enough to find an executioner in the merchant, and so mine outpaces even his. So I think, yes, he will be on my attack list today.
Awesome.
But when it comes to it, like, yeah, even Lancelot is checking out the merchant and alerting Azrael, hey, something's available. And, you know, there's pinging him, you know, spamming his inbox, trying to get him, like, hey, there's something available for you. Gotcha. Just more, the whole team's looking out for each other.
Yeah, you guys have a wonderful team. So, yeah. I got a question. So, like, last season, everyone was like, 4-shard, take my energy. Like, what's the vibe this season? Because, like, 4-shard is kind of low-key right now, so... who's like your guy?
It's Lancelot and Azrael right now. Yeah, like, but Lancelot, everybody always roots for Lance because Lance is, you know, the nicest guy on the planet. But like right now, but he's been playing a little differently because he's playing late. He's been working and doing school, and so he's kind of playing when all of us are already asleep. So he'll come in, leave all these notes from the night before, being like, yep, I was perfect again today, maxed out, kicking ass. And it's just like, way to go. We wake up and it's just like, way to go, Lance. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's unreal. unreal. It's good to see competition, though. It's really good. And then, so we wrapped up Azrael, and then we have Renegade Monk. So Renegade Monk has the distinct honor of having a rare attacking knight. It's right there. Look at him.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting as well. I think I say that a lot, but HD is a very interesting game. So he's got the lean triangle going on, but he's thrown that wrench in there. And I think he's banking on a lot more people not focusing on developing their mounted. So maybe he's thinking he can kind of sneak up on people, backdoor a few people, and that the triangle, the 1-1-1 melee ranged and defensive mount will be enough. I think it's interesting. I think, again, it speaks to that two merc for 1 point, sort of enhancing the creativity of what people can do in HD. And it's really cool to see things like this. Like, as we're preparing for this pod today and we're going through all the different types of setups, there's actually a lot going on this season, and we'll break it down as we continue talking, but this is a really good starting point.
Yeah, I think this kind of build would be a lot more surprising if he went 9 attacks, because then that knight would be level 17 or something. that knight would be massive.
Yeah.
And then it would have been able to get the jump on pretty much everybody on the server. So that's a little thought experiment for everyone back at home. It's if you play nine attacks and you get very high level mercs, it makes sense to maybe run one offensive knight as long as it's not your only win condition.
Question for you. Random. Yeah. Would you pit that offensive knight if you were him? Like, if you were nine attacks, let's just say you did it with nine attacks. That was one of your first mercs. Would you pit it?
Yeah, I would. I would archery range the archer and pit the knight. And yeah. I know that people are not going to be pitting their knights because it doesn't make sense to pit your knight against one guy. So I would just have a very big advantage, kill their enemy archers. And especially people playing double axe, like the knight really doesn't die to axe. So it's only the rogues you have to be worried about. And the more people play double axe, the better you are in that position. So yeah, if it's nine attacks, I think it's more possible to play that attacking knight if it's not your only win condition. I think we just developed a new build that no one's playing right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. My original game plan was to keep my bi-level 14 mount as the backdoor for a while, sell it, and then get a second bow and just have no backdoor. But until I realized all you have to do is just stick a sword on your guy when you attack me and he's dead. So that did, like, that was, I was like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. But then I thought about it for 30 seconds.
Yeah. Always cutting corners. But I think this one is not a corner you want to cut.
Yeah.
Because then people could just equip an arrow, the sword before reset too, and just troll you.
Oh, yes.
Then, yeah, if everyone does that, then you just run out of people. Then
you'd be hacking Striker all season.
Yeah. Your only target.
Oh, no,
is,
he has mounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, where is Striker?
Oh, God.
Did I even spy him? Oh my goodness, I did. I spied him. Striker has a Duke. That Duke is critting you, 100%.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so those are the 11 attack people. I think Scotty Dog might have been 11 attacks too, but he got lumped into the bi-level 27 people because of his sort of like half and half build. Let's talk about the 10 attack group. We have 117 Spartan. So I'm not really sure what he's doing because he doesn't have final build yet. It looks like he's in between because he's got the Cavalier and the Duke. This is really weird. Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I'm just looking at him now.
He maybe reached 20 today and sold this Cavalier and Bowman to go for 20.
Yeah, I don't know. And the Strongman.
Oh, and
the Strongman got sold as well, yep.
Really not sure what this guy's thinking. We'll see tomorrow. Yeah, it's as mysterious as Domit.
Is everyone just trying to fight for merchant mercs here? Is that the play? Like, are people trying to slow transition? And are we going to just have, like, I don't know. Like, that poor merchant's just going to have a long lineup of people waiting.
Not sure. Yeah, not sure about this guy. But then we have Shiny here. Shiny with the classic four shard. So, you've spied yourself.
I did.
Your mercs are showing twice. So, how's your experience going? And what are you looking to do today? Because you haven't done your attacks yet. How is this build going to grow?
I mean, it's been pretty easy so far. Like, the transition, as I said last time, is usually the easiest part, because if you're in transition, there's somebody else in transition, and everybody else was in transition these last few days, so there are, you know, plenty of targets to hit. Today, like, you know, I wasn't eager to sit down and do my attacks because all of you guys at nine attacks are going to have more mature 20s and are over that transition period, so there's no easy targets in you guys. You know, Jib and Azrael have been, like, my first two just because they've been behind on everything. And they've kind of been easy targets, so I'll probably start looking at them. I haven't spent the time to start spying down the list and planning out my day yet. It's been one of those days.
Mm, yeah. But it's going to be a lot better once your executioner hits 18 and your bowman hits 16. it's going to feel so nice.
Yeah, that having that executioner, goes zero speed. Yeah. Having that executioner helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
And the Berserker, you just feel like speed. You're playing HD, yeah. Right? Like when you have zero speed, you finally feel like, okay,
right.
I can understand and predict my battles a little bit better, right? I'm not going to have random counters like...
Even though we all know that the speed is relative, there's just something about that zero that just makes you feel like, okay, I can...
Yes.
It's okay now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I was so relieved when I hit. It felt so good.
Like, it felt so good. Like, I had a battle today, so I was helping J-Mai, and I forgot who he attacked. It might have been you, actually, Shiny. I don't know. Maybe you check your logs. And... he had both of his axemen get countered in a span of 5 lines, like to death. Oh. And he won the battle with just a bowman against like someone else's melee. It might have been you or it was somebody. Did he? Is this the one? Yeah, we're looking at it now, right?
Yeah, he got through the
I don't know if it was you. It was somebody in the top 10. Like I was working on attacks with him.
Yes, oh, yeah. Wait.
The one.
Yeah.
Got merchant executive, twice. Yes.
Yeah, so look at that, right? Like, that's crazy. Like, I know it's all relative, but when I'm in a negative speed, I'm like, okay, crap like this is not going to happen. Oh, in my J-Mai. Mind.
Wow.
J-Mai. Yeah. Yeah, I probably told him to do that attack a little too soon. I don't think that was one of his last ones.
But that was... That executioner can hit the archer.
Yep.
It's possible.
Yeah, that's a scary thing.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. Oh my goodness. All right. Cool, cool, cool. And then we're going to look at some weird stuff. We have Ayoba, Charity and Charna, maybe? So Ayoba is not that weird. Ayoba has 3 archers. So this is like the 3 bow.
But this looks like our 3 bow from last season, not your 3 bow from this season, which she'll talk about obviously later.
No, this
right?
Is
like
the he's 3 not... bow from this. This is my 3 bow from this season.
But like he's got, hold on. So he, because yours have the accuracy on it, but from what yeah. I remember on the spy, did he go super high on accuracy? I'm just looking here again.
Yeah, I'm not. Okay. I'm not sure. My 3 bow is really extreme.
Yeah.
This season.
Because he's no okay, so two bows have the ones that do more damage have more accuracy, but there's not like a like he should have over 100 accuracy if he's doing what you're doing. I think he's configuring these the way you and I did last season, where it's a mixture of damage, accuracy.
Okay, I see that.
You know what I mean? Like look at the two right there, both level 11s. If he was doing what you're doing now, those would have much more accuracy than 94.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's well, doing what we did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is 3 bow. And Charity is... I don't know what this is. Charity, if you're watching this, we want you on this podcast.
Oh, man. Like, dream guest.
Dream
all
guest.
All the Maltese.
Get on here. And then, like, he'll just play the different Maltese. He'll, like, change his voice for, like, each one or something. Okay, yeah, so this is some weird stuff.
Got some melee with some pretty high relative to what's out there, agility but low defense. And we've got the mixture of offensive and defensive mount. We've got Amazon again with super high agility. So I've found and I've commented, I think, on one of the channels in the Discord that they tend to allocate in this pattern every season. I find that they've got the low defense, high agility melees. They've got the, you know, really like, actually sometimes really threatening mount. And then, but then they also have a defensive mount. So I'm always spying and I'm like, wait a minute. If my knight gets countered like randomly in like, I don't know, line 15, and I haven't killed this duke yet, like I could actually get backdoored here. And like, I'm like playing all these wild scenarios out. So they're always very like interesting to spy, and it always trips me out because, like, I always overthink it.
Yeah, it makes me feel really insecure, too. Like, I felt so insecure on the day I switched to 20 that I put archer armor and then I enhanced the armor on my archer. I don't know. I was so scared. Yeah, and then it was like a weird investment. So like, I kept the armor on my archer, and then once I didn't need it anymore, I like sold it for gold. But like, it's builds like this that just make you feel really insecure.
And yeah, you just start playing scenarios out.
Yeah, I assume Charna is also just as strange.
So Charna has the double offensive mount. That's how I distinguish the difference between the two.
There's some consistency here. Everything is in the same buy level so far.
Yep.
Nope, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's a strongman.
Yeah, it's either the Amazon or the strongman, and they have like the same stats.
I think that'll be replaced by merchant fodder. I see them staying at 20 and like selling. Like, I think they really, really, again, that long line of people waiting outside the merchant's door, like, I think Charity and Charna will be right there at the front.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah, we want you on this podcast, okay? All right. 100%. The last 10 attacker is Mark, 72923. So, this guy is a hybrid berserker. Check it out. Oh, yeah. Enforcer. Hybrid enforcer. Offense enforcer. I barely know her. I don't know what he's talking about. Knife guy. Nighty Knight. Ouchlaw.
One of those crits would make me say ouch too.
Yeah, I love this guy. He's so funny. Yeah, so this is the offensive melee build. And he went for a death bow instead of a... Sorry, he went for a knight instead of a death bow. I think a death bow would have made more sense because the death bow definitely would have dodged all the defensive knights that the top players are building. Easy. Like, this one stands to be countered randomly and then, like, backdoored. But, you know, I think, like, this is definitely a, like, if you don't win in 30 lines, you just lose. Kind of build.
Yeah.
So
you're looking for a lot of green lines and a lot of red kills.
Yeah.
But like, I just wanted to say one thing and just to plan a seed for later, because I know we're going to be talking about someone else with melee.
Yeah.
One thing I want us to think about, and I didn't talk about this beforehand, is what, and we don't have to answer it now, what do we think is a right proportion of each type of mercenary for front doors offensive melee setup, right? So there's one player who has four whips, and in this case he's got two with a berserker and a two knifemen, or no, a wanderer, which is two knifemen. So just something for later, like, what do we think? I don't know.
I think, like, it's also like these setups are distinguishable because the other player has just more slots.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is six slots. I think the other player has eight. So
yeah, they got eight.
Yeah. I think it's pretty easy. You just look at people's builds, and it's like, I think for the people that are playing triangles, it's like 80% four shard and 20% double axe or something.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Play along the thing, yeah. Especially like when these Whitman were buffed. Like, I think it's attractive to play more Whitman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I think you should have an extra Whitman. Like, I think that Wanderer should be a Whitman, but probably can't afford to right now.
So good. Because you don't want your knife guy to attack the executioner. Then it would just die.
No. Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We will see how this build goes. We still have half of the month left, plus a few more days afterwards.
Lots of HD to play.
There's a lot of HD. This guy's basically committed to this setup for the rest of the month. Good luck, my friend.
I'm excited. Let's see it, Mark.
Yeah. All right. So we have the 9 attack group coming up, and we split those into the 2 mercs and the 4 mercs. These two approaches are distinguished because the 2 merc players have 2 mercs that are really, really high level compared to the other mercs. So this is myself. So I'm going to shut up now and you can critique my stuff.
Oh, Well, I thought it'd be interesting for you to explain it first, but so obviously last season you did the tribal. I did that as well. I think we both, I'll be honest, and I haven't, I'll talk about myself later. I don't like my setup. I just feel like that's what I need to play to try and win. I like the six. I still believe very much so in the tribal setup. I'm not sure if I would have gone as with as much accuracy. I know what you're trying to do. I'm just wondering, like, my question, and it's not like it's actually just a genuine question because this is the first time that we actually are playing something different, right? The first time I copied you, the second time I thought I was a genius, and then we did the same thing.
And
So
then
this
both of us
is
lost.
like really great that we're, you know, like we're really competing against each other, and we're going about it two very different ways. And I'll be honest, when I spied you, I was like, I know what you're doing. You're gonna be a real pain in the ass to be like, if I were to try and attack you at like 24 for my arrows or 28, like I'd probably think twice about it. But do you think that those bows, or have you noticed rather, those bows making the impact you want off on your offensive attacks?
No.
Okay.
And I don't expect these bows to do anything
Okay.
until like the last week. So,
So, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
yeah, I'll explain the logic of this build. So basically, what I learned is if you play two mercs with 9 attacks, you're going to have two mercs that are really, really strong. And the two mercs that are really, really strong should be your main tank and your main win condition. Everything else has like almost no relevance. They just kind of exist as like safety measures, so that the Berserker is there as a safety measure. So I noticed people like, I thought people would play a lot of Enforcers and Whips because they were buffed. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna play the Berserker and not 2 axes. The Knight exists just to protect the backline, so that's just two mercs that just exist. And those two archers, I know that because they will never be archery ranged, they will never catch up in damage to anyone else's main tank. So if they never catch up, I might as well not front and pretend like they will, because it's just a waste of time. Like that's how I felt playing the tribal the first time, is I tried to make those archers into impossible archers that they would never just become. It's not possible to build them that way. So I was like, okay, this is the only other way to build the archer, which is to make them as accurate as possible. And then, like, the damage doesn't really matter because they'll score some crits and it'll do some damage at the end of the game. And A, it'll deter people from attacking me, especially really suave, good-looking content creators with 2 executioners, But I'm trying to like deter you from attacking me, and it was like 2 executioners. Okay, I'm gonna build 2 really mean archers. They're gonna have over 300 accuracy by the end of the season. And
Yeah,
I think at
absolutely.
every point, they're going to have double the accuracy of your agility. And you either deal with it by allocating to agility and you give up ground in defense, or you just don't and you get crit. So that's the kind of logic behind this build. I think it's going to help me. It's going to do better than last season. And I think that comes from the realization that these archers will never scale and you should never pretend they'll scale.
Yeah. I learned the same sort of lesson. I tried as well, and I was not very gold efficient, and I'd imagine that you probably felt the same at certain points where you're trying to get that, even if it's that second bow. Like I took my third bow and I just said, oh, screw it, I'll just put all damage, and I still couldn't keep up, especially when defense started scaling higher. And so I think you and I both started adding accuracy after the facts, and we're just like, oh well, you know, it's got 500 damage now and 160 accuracy, like maybe this will do something. And really all it got was mop kills, which is, I define a mop kill as like once the wall is broken down, it's attacking archers and mounted and other things like that. And so I just want to talk to like sort of everybody, like the HD community, and just sort of again talk about what you're doing and how it's meant to, like there's a lot of different aspects of HD, and some of it is psychological. Like I think when the margin is so close, for victory, those attacks that a player like me would do against you at level 24, level 28, level 35, like those are typically attacks that the power spike is so high from the new arrows that any top player is going to kill any top player. And so what Phil has essentially done is he's made me really, really think about it. because my greatest weakness in my setup is my lack of agility. If he's got these bows, I'm going to have to think about it. I might get lucky and win. I might not. And again, just for everybody, that's that sort of gamesmanship that exists. And sort of like when in margins are so thin, I could lose that attack and lose by like 3 points again. It's like, yep.
Yeah. So. And to expound on your point on gamesmanship, I named the mercs the level of accuracy I have after I play each day. So when you spy it, it's going to be at 186. Yeah. It's just going to remind you how much accuracy it has. But yeah, this is basically like big Crush of Demons. Like Crush of Demons had that big accuracy archer, but then like only one melee wall. So this is like big Crush of Demons.
Yeah, and they're protected more because he only had the one melee and you've got two.
Yeah, and the other build would be to have three executioners and one berserker with one knight and one archer. So you either turn those two archers into like two beefy guys or just two crit archers. We'll see. This is a funny build. I'm confident that it's going to be good. Yeah.
What about a 3-2-1 with one crit archer and one regular archer?
And then you have three frontline?
Yeah, so three front lines, one damage, and one, because like that's another one you could do as well.
Yeah, that's another one that can be done. And then the other one is 2-2-2. So you have one crit archer, one normal archer, one attack mount, one defense mount, you know.
Mm.
Two front lines.
Yeah. That's actually not bad. I didn't think about that one.
Yeah, that's funny. There are a lot of funny possibilities with six mercs. And this is just... Like I just wanted to redeem myself for the like the garbage season I played last season. So I was like, okay, that's the season. That's
how many times did Crush of Demons get you on crits?
A lot.
Oh, damn.
A lot. I lost multiple offensives to Crush of Demons. It was humiliating.
I lost one, but it wasn't a crit. Weirdly enough.
Yeah, it was humiliating. I didn't like it. All right. So then Cheech is playing. Cheech is basically Crush of Demons this season.
Yeah, that surprised me, actually, because I've not played a ton with Cheech, but every time I spy Cheech, I always felt like they were very solid defensively, and they typically ran with archers that had higher accuracy than average.
Yeah, and, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to see one melee, I was kind of surprised, but I hope it works out for him. Uh-huh. It's just too stressful for me.
Yeah, too stressful. It's, it feels like you're, again, walking the tightrope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's do want to say that is a way for people to still remain efficient with their allocation points, but still throw some wrinkles in there. And I think that's sort of the mindset that these players have when they run these type of setups. And that's the philosophy that guides them, so... Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah.
He maxed out today.
Yeah. And so we have Shiny Smirks next to Cheech Smirks. Would you attack him? Like, do you think you'd win?
Let me see and look here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think today I'm probably going to attack him. And not really worry about it because my executioner has outpaced him pretty well at the moment. Ooh, but his execution, he's got a good executioner. So he's
412.
Yeah, he's, 412 is he's up there with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
how close are you to those level 16 arrows?
Yeah, that's what
you should
I mean,
be able to get to about 400 damage.
Right. Yeah, that'll make a big difference, you know, probably halfway through my day here. So, I mean, maybe I might have leveled up already. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. This will be a tough one.
This will be a tough one. 413 is a lot.
Yeah, with good agility as well.
Yeah, and then you have to be careful. Like if you do attack him, that knight has 351 defense, so it might kill your knight and then kill your archer.
Yep.
That's also a possibility. Like an accident like that can happen.
Yeah.
So.
He's tough. It's not good value for sure.
Is my circle higher up than yours? Might be.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but I think I'm in a good spot because I'm not blocking the thing.
Yes, that was my logic.
All right. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Okay, so those are the two Merc people, and then the four Merc people we got a lot. Most of them are four shards. Like, we got Lancelot. Lancelot's doing great this season. So let's take a look at... Oh, shoot, we forgot the Rad. I'm sorry, the Rad. The Rad has the Big Executioner. And then I think he also... Yeah, this is very similar. Yeah, except that Bowman has a lot of accuracy, not a lot of damage.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would probably leave that accuracy as is for a while, actually. Yeah. And I typically build, and I think you do as well, we kind of look at the agility of what we're attacking. And if most melees right now are between 95 and 105 mm-hmm. for their agility, like mine's on a bit of a lower end right now, but, 104, 108 accuracy is good enough, right?
Yeah, so I usually get to 90, and then I can hit the archery range better. So, like,
yeah.
So I'm reaching, I have the strongest archer, like I have the highest level archer in the game. So if I can afford to use those extra points on getting accuracy, I can hit the 90 meter much earlier, which will then help my growth. So it's that early investment.
I think that matters, especially when the margins are so thin. How do we utilize that archery range? I've talked about it in some of the videos I've put out. It's really critical.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay, sorry, the Rad. We skipped you. Our bad. Forshard. So, Forshard is the winner from last season. He's playing Forshard again. So this is basically Forshard.
He's and, just sort of been lurking in the shadows there.
Yeah, he's just chilling.
Yeah.
How is he communicating with like the players in your alliance? Is he like?
Yeah, he's still been very active with us, and he's been around. Still just doing it? Yeah, I mean, everybody supporting Lance right now. It seems is where most of our communication is.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I get that feeling. I can like sense it. It's great though. Like it's like this guy is one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. So friendly, so cool, and you know what? Like it's going to make my job harder and you know, whoever else is trying to win's job harder, but I welcome the competition and if Lance won this season, I'd be really, really happy for him.
And quality it's way different. We're not like, you know, it's not like we're going over every attack with him or doing group attacks or anything. He's been, like I said, he's been doing it late at night and just killing it on his own. Like, I feel like, you know, him with being with Forshard, watching your videos, being with everybody in that group setting just really kind of changed his approach to the game this season.
Elliot, I'm rooting for him. Just don't pass me, man. Don't stay ahead of me, rather.
He's already passed you.
Yeah.
I know. He's passed me. He's passed me. What am I talking about?
Lance. Let's see. Has he played yet? I don't think so.
Just checking right now.
No, he has.
To that end, though.
He has. He's
one. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Oh, he did. Okay, he did 10:07. Yeah, he did. I am interested to see with the Berserker crew, like, how... Because even in the same kind of build, you can play them very differently. Like, you could... Mm-hmm. Like, how agile are these going to be? And I think it's, for me, as someone who's going with double axe, it's going to be very interesting to watch and see how heavy people do go on agility. Because I think there'll be... a range. I think there'll be some people who run them a little higher. There's some people who run them a little lower typically. But yeah, even in the same setup, you can have it built differently.
Yep, totally. Totally. We'll find out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we'll find out. Who we got next? We got next. Frost. Okay, Frost. Oh, double all right. X. Have you gotten any crit scares yet?
I don't want to answer this question. Like you're just, I feel like you're setting me up here. I'm gonna say no. I don't have any crit scares yet, and then tomorrow I'm gonna get hit with one. So I know what you're doing, but I'll play along. It's cool. To answer your question, though, kidding aside, no crit scares yet. Okay. It is something I'm really closely monitoring. I just to kind of explain it, I felt last season that my Berserker was too squishy. It was not something that made me feel safe. I feel typically more safe when I have defense and HP. But I do understand that it also leaves me susceptible to critical hits. And I know I'll probably get a battle or two where that happens, and I just need to remain composed and understand that's part of the game. But especially with a really slow bow, I'm not sure if you've picked up on that either. I've allocated 0 points to my bow in speed. So right now, the way my setup is it's going to be long, drawn out battles, which typically favor critical hits. So it's the number one consideration I'm looking at when I do my attacks every day. And we'll see how it goes. So far, so good. And yeah, again, this is to me a central storyline of the season. The four shard build versus double ass.
Gotcha. Yeah. Interesting, interesting stuff. Yeah, I can see the 400 defense. It's pretty chunky.
It's
It's
yeah, it's
big.
like 450 and like just under 400 now, and it's great, but crits
Wait, you
don't care
hit
about that.
450?
Four, well, 446, 447, kind of
Oh,
rounded up a
man.
little.
Wow. I'm
So
at
like I'm pretty
421.
tough tomorrow.
Yeah.
But again, crits don't care about that. That 178, that could crit me for like 600 damage, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Don't attack me.
No, you're not worth it, man. Low quality target, super difficult, not optimal yield.
Oh man, this is how HD people insult each other, by the way. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but
But
politely, and I think it's done out of a place of respect too. Like, I
yeah, it's
mean,
funny.
shoot, we've battled these last few seasons. We've also battled in the past too, but
Yeah.
like, I think going back to HD with the way February ended, and then competing in March, and March didn't go the way you wanted. I think both of us are kind of just like really, and we'll get to it when we talk about predictions. I think we're both really locked in this season. So when we
Yeah.
jab at each other like this, it's all out of respect.
Our predictions are pretty funny. You'll see our predictions later. All right. So this is Too Dark Forever. Too Dark Forever is Bunky. Big
Yeah, I'm
frontline.
rooting for this setup.
Yeah, this is like the big frontline guy.
Yeah.
Except he has two knights, so I don't know what he's doing.
Oh, I just realized that now too.
Like the knight doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, what's he got? Berserker, Executioner, Executioner. He's got the one bow.
The one bow. Like that other knight could have been converted into something, but
Yeah, it could
not
have been
sure.
an offensive knight, or it could have been another bow. Yeah. I like the idea of a 3-2-1 setup, but not with the two mounts. I didn't even catch that when I spied him earlier today.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting, but HD is customizable. You can play the way you want, and
Yeah.
yeah, maybe he'll learn something good or learn something bad this season, and then switch it up next season,
Absolutely.
or not, depending on what he learns.
Maybe
Crush
he's
of
in that merchant line
Demons.
too.
Yeah, so this is the wild guy. This is like the bi-level 20 bagel, except
Yeah.
not everyone bagel. Sorry, I call everything bagels, everyone bagels. It's just a personal quirk. How many enforcers is that? One, two,
Four.
three, four. Four. Okay,
Yeah.
cool. Okay, and then there's two mounts. Again, could have been a death bow, and then two outlaws. Yeah.
Yeah. The knight versus death bow thing, like, I think he actually commented. I'm not sure if it was on our Discord or generally. He did comment. I should have actually pulled that up in preparation for this, but he did actually explain his rationale as to why
Okay.
he went with the knight. I don't know if I agree with it. Felt like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but
But I do like the ratio of his
this is
melee.
a nice ratio. It's got all even numbers and stuff.
Well, he's got four whips and two knives, which I think a 2-to-1 ratio, whether you do 2-1 or 4-2, I think that's kind of what you're looking for, right? Because everyone's going to have an axe. It's just a question of, well, almost everybody. And then it's just a question of, again, to your point, the 80-20 rule. Like, is it, 80% rogues and 20% axes? Well, I think a 2-to-1 ratio kind of covers that really well.
I like this guy's merc names. They're so cool.
Yeah, intense.
Yeah.
Process.
I don't even know what those are. It's
dairy guys. Like, it's
they're cool.
He's got it. And he's got them really, like, if you look at how he's named them, right? So E for Enforcer, and then I think the I is meant to, like, divide. One. One, two, three, my bad. Number four. So Enforcer number four, Dairy Guys. That's even more organized than I thought.
Yeah, this guy is so organized and cool.
Yeah. No, I love my organization.
So, down the line, would you fight a player like this? Like, if he was in your attack range? Like, would you feel okay doing this?
Me? With two axes? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not, because I'm susceptible to critical hits. I need to sort of see how the numbers scale, if he's able to raise these mercenaries to get them to that frightening level of accuracy that I'm talking about. But, I mean, gosh, even at the end of last season, I think we had, 160 agility. So if he's able to get these leveled up a bit, like, I don't know. I wouldn't attack him unless I absolutely had to. Mm-hmm.
Tricky, tricky. All right, who we got next? Ah, Mystic Butterfly. Mystic Butterfly is a really nice guy now.
Yeah, changed insect.
Yeah. Do not give up, Beck.
I wish Beck was here, man. That guy just seems absolutely fantastic. But
I love Beck. Yeah. I'm gonna message him at the end of the month, try to get him back playing next month in like a real alliance.
Absolutely. Shout out to you, Beck.
Yeah.
Go join chicken.
Yeah. Go join chicken. Good luck, everyone. This is a typical four shard.
Yeah.
This is typical four shard. I don't think there's anything like we need to point out here. This is
even the allocations are very four shardish.
Yeah, it's
terrible. Yeah.
Maybe four shard is Mystic Caterpillar. I don't know.
HD's Great Mysteries.
Yeah. So, is this guy... What is this guy? This is the four shard.
Four shard.
Except the Berserker is really agile.
Yeah, so that's what I was talking about earlier. He's kind of what I was thinking about, right? Like, he's...
Yeah.
He's only got 91 agility on the Executioner, but he's got a super agile. So it's almost like he's playing to those extremes to really maximize what the identity of each unit is. But he's got damage on the Berserker.
I don't know, man. Counter damage.
229.4. He allocated to damage.
Yeah.
I don't know if relying on like a heavy counter is a great strategy per se. Unless it was an accident.
Yeah, it could have been an accident. But with the speed being lowered, I don't think that's going to help you do anything except for a very rare circumstantial counter.
Yeah, I feel like there's some points wasted there, but it's interesting, though.
Yeah, fascinating. Zeratul. So, Zeratul is bulky. He has the two Executioner build.
Ah, there we go. This is what I wanted to see, a 3-2-1. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, this is a fun guy. Oh, look. Look at the accuracy archer. It's so nice.
Oh, man.
Be up there. It's up there.
Up there.
163.
I'm sure you want a lot of those.
Yeah. So this is like, this thing will like give you a random crit, and it's going to piss you off someday.
Absolutely. Especially since he's got that extra layer of security. Like, his battles, if his defense scales correctly, his battle should last quite a while, even if you're attacking him. Mm-hmm. To get through all three of those and not get crit. Oh, that's a lot of fun. Future me is going to love attacking him.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't like make it into your attack range for long.
Yeah. Because
I think he's seriously. Still like, he's still far out a little bit.
Yep.
Yep.
Man.
And this guy plays normally anti-meta. But this has been surprisingly chill. This is Double Axe.
Yeah. Has he talked about it in your alliance chat? He's a Knights of the Round, Derek. Has he contributed a lot to the conversation?
there, yeah, he's definitely active. He's definitely in there. And I think today there was a lot of activity, but, like, you know, I was busy most of the day, so I missed all the conversation today and just haven't caught up yet. But yes, he is active.
Yeah, because he's typically, cool. Like, Mr. Anti-Meta. High buy level. I think he went 27 last season. Keep me honest, guys.
He did.
Yeah. He's probably disenchanted by what the results were, and I don't blame him.
Yeah,
I don't blame him either. That's wild.
All yeah. Right.
We got any more people, or is that it?
I think that's it.
All right.
I think that's it.
Take a look at Jib one more time. In all his glory. And that crazy battle log. All right. So
he's been chipping in on our Alliance Discord, actually, Jib.
Jib? Yeah, he said something on Discord the other day.
He talks our Illuminati Discord now, too. He's like, yeah, so.
Yeah, how is he feeling about himself? Like, he's obviously made these choices. Like, does he feel confident behind those choices?
I'm not sure. He does a lot of self-deprecating humor. He'll just sort of make fun of himself and, like, he'll be like, oh, idiots like me are going by level 27 or this or that. And I'm just like, you're not an idiot. You're one of the best players that's ever played this game. You're not fooling anybody.
Yeah.
So we'll see, though. I mean, he's always a fun player. He's one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I love him. He said that, like, in the publicly too, in the Discord, about level 27 and how it's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's just, I guess he's doing it. So here's an interesting question for you guys. How does the competition feel this season? Like, does it feel challenging? Do you feel like there's a lot of pressure? What's it like playing at this point in the game?
For me, the pressure starts right now, because up until now, I've been able to avoid attacking all of you 9 attackers. You were never in the range that I had to attack down to. But it looks like today is that turning point where you guys are going to jump past a couple of those, and I'm really going to have to start sweating through attacks, because you guys are in that range that I have to start attacking, but there's just no way I'm able to do that yet. So the pressure starts for me now, and this is where you guys make... This is why you play this strategy, because you come up and we all know it's the whatever the slowest horse gets the blood from the stone, whatever the saying I'm looking for.
Yeah, worm, right? Yeah. Two stones, one bird. Yeah, one of those. Cool. And Frost, how are you feeling?
I feel good about myself, but I think because, like, in the past, I've gone back and analyzed some of my seasons, and both seasons that I lost, and I consider anything other than one a loss, it is what it is. I've played the game for a long time, right? And it's just like,
me too.
I feel like I'm playing well, and I feel like when I look at those last couple of seasons, particularly February and March, I was always at an allocation disadvantage, right? Like, in February, I did the triangle, but I also had a salary point. In March, I did 6 mercs, but I also had a salary point. So I was always, like, just a little bit behind. This season, I didn't do that. This season, I said, screw it. I'm going to just go 1 salary, 4 mercs. Anyone who has 6 mercs with no salary, we've expended the same amount of allocation points on our armies, whether it's 4 mercs with gold, whether it's 6 mercs without. And now we just stack attacks and see how it plays out. And so I feel good about how I'm doing. But I'll be honest, I'm looking at, like, the current top 200, and I didn't expect as many people to max as they did today. I didn't expect Lance to max out today, right? Like, I didn't expect necessarily Cheech to max out today. Yeah. There's a lot of competition. I think that, just sort of as a sidebar, as we, you know, we have these podcasts, and we record ourselves playing, and we have conversation about HD, and I'm literally here giving away my secrets, so to speak, to people who may not know, and they watch and learn and use them, and I'm aware of it. But I do think that the engagement, the conversation, has led to a more competitive season so far. Like, I feel good about my play, but I don't... Normally, I'd be like, yeah, I got this, but I don't necessarily feel that way right now.
Yeah, the competition makes us better. And
Yeah.
I'm really happy that we're doing all this content and we're all these players are way more detail oriented this season compared to other seasons.
I've got some
Like
exclusive breaking
every.
news. Lancelot just recorded his attacks and is uploading them right now. So he did his own little overview of his mind for the day. That'll be exciting to see.
I want to
Oh
see
man,
this.
I
I'm
love
watching it
it.
tomorrow. First thing I do when I wake up, I'm watching this.
Once that's posted, I'm watching that. John, thanks for doing that, man.
Yeah,
I
thank
think it
you.
would be really be valuable to see and hear other people's perspectives. I think that regardless of how long you've played or how good or not good you are, I think everybody has something to contribute. And you've been kicking ass, and I want to watch
You've been
it.
doing great. Yeah, super clean. Yeah, it's always really good to watch another clean player play clean, because you get to see like what things they do similar and what things they might do differently, and then you can learn, oh, there's more than one way to be clean.
Yeah.
You know, really interesting. I want to watch this too. My seasons felt pretty good. I conceded a few points transitioning, which I think is pretty normal, because now it's so easy to get more mercs. You know, you click one button and you get two mercs. So rushing with two mercs is very, very hard. I do it all the time, but it doesn't feel good. And that's where the deficit comes from against Lance. It's that, you know, that one day where I'm raising baby mercs that I'm missing a knight. So, you know, targets are hard. But now that my build is final and I'm locked in, I actually feel really good about the season. I feel like maybe some of the battles last season were a little bit unlucky, but by giving myself two stupid crit archers, I've kind of manipulated luck to the best of my ability. So I feel okay about it. Like, I feel like on average, I should be luckier than other players because I've kind of allocated towards that. So that's kind of the feel I get. I'm not really scared of competing against Lance. I know he's playing very, very clean right now, but I feel like I have a lot of experience playing this game, and I think that experience is going to help me compete against him. He also has a lot of experience playing this game, but we'll see how he handles, you know, worrying about his attacks every day, especially when he has to attack other people that play similar to him, like the other four shard builds. I think, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how he navigates that. I'm a little lucky because I don't have the four shard build. I'm not really attacking anybody with the same build, so maybe that'll feel better. Not sure. We'll find out. But I've been feeling pretty good. Okay, so this is the spiciest part of the section. What are your predictions? What are you thinking? I guess Shiny, what are you hoping for?
I kind of tiered mine into like that nine attack crew and making their way up to the top, and I am leaning towards the nine attack crew. And I'm gonna pick Lance just because it's Lance and he's in my alliance, so you know I'm gonna
Yeah.
be a homer and say it's gonna be Lance and then you two to follow. And then, you know, I like what Four Shard's doing, and then Cheech and Elation we just talked about, you know, they have the Four Shard going and they're gonna be, you know, Four Shard's proven to be strong, and that setup is going to be strong. And then, you know, I'm not sure if Azrael, Jib, and I are going to hang on to our top 10 spots, but I want to believe that Azrael and Jib will. And then I would love to believe that I do as well, but I would have more faith in those two than I have for myself. And then
You have a perfect season so far.
so far it's been perfect,
Yeah, you're
but
perfect so far.
we'll see. Like I said, the pressure starts today. You know, it's so easy up until this point for me just because I feel like I thrive in transition. It's that end game decisions that just don't go my well. I just don't set up well for the end game. It's the decisions I make now that usually bite me in the ass. But then, like, Bagel's gonna be my wild card for the top 10 this season. You know, she got 11th last season, going by level 27 with that bagel, with that everything bagel, or every person bagel, whatever you called it.
Everyone
But
bagel.
it seems to be a lot more lean this season. And I think she was by level 27 like yesterday or 2 days ago now, right? Like, which is unbelievably quick. So I think we're gonna be in trouble. Like, nobody's gonna be able to attack her, obviously, but she's got time. We're at what, 15, 16 days? 17? Is it 31 days in April? I don't know. but
I don't remember.
She's 30. Got time. Yeah, 30. 30, so 30, 30. 16 days is still a lot of time.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Where's Butterfly?
You know, we'll see. You know, when you soften up, maybe you just don't have that tenacity you need to win a top 10 spot in High Descent.
Yeah. Sucks. So, yeah, how'd your predictions go?
Mine.
Yeah.
Well, you got to bet on yourself.
Yes, I see that.
I think. So I've got myself in the top spot. I think it's no secret that, you know, this sort of three season arc now of trying to get a win, like the last full season I played before I came back, I'd won. Came back in January, was completely clueless, forgot how to play HD. You know what happened in February, and then Forshard came out of nowhere and surprised everybody. So yeah. I'm really locked in this season. I'm spending a lot more time and focus, and I'm going to do everything I can, man, and just, you know. So I've got you as second. And again, it could flip-flop. You'll probably say the opposite, and I would hope that you'd say the opposite.
Yeah.
You better not put anyone else but yourself at the top. And then I've got Butterfly. Butterfly looks pretty strong, and I'm rooting for you, Derek. You know, you are perhaps, you know, if the HD seasons were 2 weeks, you'd be the YB. You always kill it. And every time there's like one compliment. Listen, it's not meant to be an insult. I just say that you play really, really well, and then there's one mistake. Yeah. It's usually like one mistake, and then it kind of goes downhill. And so I'm honestly, like, as a friend, I've known you for a long time, and I'm hoping that that mistake does not happen. And I've got you in that top five mix as well.
Yeah.
And then sort of I've got a group of people that I've got as well. So Lance, Azrael, Forshard, Cheech, Elation, and Zeratul sort of rounding out that group. It's not to diminish any of them. They're all really great players and could very well be in that top five, could very well beat me. But if I'm being asked on whatever day 14, that's kind of how I see it playing out.
Gotcha. So you have Lance kind of at the bottom tier, but he's winning right now. Do you think he's going to fall apart or kind of loosen up with the attacks?
I think it's kind of what you talked about. So again, I've very tried to be as objective and respectful as possible. I just think that when you're at the top and you're competing for that number one spot, the margin is so thin. The little decisions that you have to make, it could be something as simple as an incorrect attack sequence, and now all of a sudden you're not strong enough to win a battle. I don't know if he has that experience. I know he's got a great group of like veteran players, and perhaps, you know, Knights of the Round, you know, I think I said this before we recorded, I consider them the greatest alliance in HD history, just because of the culture, because of placements and of players they've had. So not to diminish any of that, there's very much going to be a spirit bomb kind of energy that goes into what he does. I question if he's going to, when it's like nut grading time, like I always say, is he going to be able to make those decisions? And I don't know. And I hope he proves me wrong, but, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah. I think we'll learn a lot about his thought process watching that video.
Yeah, that's true. I should probably be asking this question like 2 hours from now.
yeah. And then he'll just
be like a killer. And I'm like, oh crap, I'm screwed.
I'm sorry. Like, right. Yeah. And I think like that mistake you were talking about with like shiny stuff, I think that was mostly averted this season by not buying a bunch of knights. So.
And that merchant pickup was clutch too.
Yeah.
Like, that was good. Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We were chatting about it. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that's great, man.
I couldn't buy it. Like, otherwise I would have like griefed, but like, yeah, I had like no ability to buy it. So for me, I listed the top 10. This is just based on my feeling. Like, I could be completely wrong. So I have confidence in my own gameplay. I think I'm going to win. And of course I think it would be kind of a disaster if I didn't, cause I don't know why I would be playing then. Because, I have like, I don't think any of us has lost an attack. I don't plan on losing too many attacks, so definitely try to keep the top spot. I got Frost second, Shiny third, because of that really good executioner boost that he has. I put Azrael fourth. So Azrael is always winning most of the time, but then he kind of falls apart. I saw that last season where he started making mistakes, but this season, I don't think he's made any major mistakes. Like, he's been playing super, super clean. And this is what, like, a good 11 attack player looks like this season. So I think he's going to maintain his lead for a much longer time. And over time, the mercenary levels are going to even out and kind of equalize. And I think that's when the 11 attack advantage is going to show. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think we get our 12th attack tomorrow, so we'll be on par with him, but with like a slightly stronger build. So we'll see where it goes. We have to make up about 600, 700 points. So, you know, it's not going to be easy, but I think it's going to be possible.
Then he does butterfly. Also run lower agility on his guys, too. I could see him getting crit if he continues that, but...
Yeah. Oh, man, now you let him know.
That's okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out. Double Executioner. Double Executioner, I think, is just low agility in general.
Yeah.
And then I got Mystic Butterfly as fifth. I think out of the players, like, I have sixth Lancelot, seventh Forshard, eighth Cheech. And I think Butterfly has the most competitive experience out of these players. So I just, out of those four, I, you know, put him fifth. And then Lancelot, I put sixth ahead of Forshard because he's currently ahead of Forshard and with the similar build. Cheech, I put up there as well. But I'm really nervous about his, like, one Merc frontline. I think it's a little bit sketchy. I don't want to, you know, ever put myself in a position to play that build. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how he navigates it and avoids critical hits. But I know, like, melee mercs are more gold intensive than archers because you can only allocate damage, right? So if he has only one gold intensive merc, maybe he can spend more gold on other mercs. So maybe that'll be good for him. And then I have Jib as number 9. So Jib is really hard to predict because he's by level 27 tomorrow, apparently. And I have no idea where to even put him because it's, hold on. Did my Discord stop? I'm not sure.
Nope, I can hear you.
Oh, fantastic. All right. So yeah, I have no idea where to put him, but, I feel like he's Jib. He's going to make it work somehow. I just don't see him raising baby mercs and keeping up with, people with established builds. And then I put Zeratul 10th. Because he's Zeratul and he knows how to play the game. So that's the kind of logic I had, but could be completely wrong. Donut could win. You know, who knows? So, yeah. Interesting endgame. We got a lot of four shards.
A lot of four shards. HD could very much be a game of, copy paste or monkey see, monkey do. You know, when someone proves something to be successful, anyone who's competitive takes notes. I did it, and there's no shame in it. And it'll be interesting, though, to see again, you know, Rogue Axe versus Axe. What happens in the last week of the season? Am I getting crit like crazy? Am I going to be up there in that HD Rage channel crying about crits? Maybe.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right, let's make a pact, okay? When we meet next week to, like, wrap up the thing, we're going to have zero offensive losses.
I can't confirm or deny that's going to happen. This is, honestly, like, this is probably as comfortable as I've felt in any of the seasons I've been back. And that just means that I could be, like, one day away from an absolute disaster, so... That's the beauty of HD. I could be very sad next time I come up here. But that's okay.
Me too. Attack me anytime. Yep. All right. Any last words? Any last comments?
The last thing I guess I want to say is just keep up the activity. I know there's been a lot of conversations, a lot of chats and activity and engagement. I think it really serves the community well. I think it helps us as individuals in our game. And I think, you know, when you're able to talk it out, it helps you and you're able to help others as well. I feel like going back to something we talked about earlier, this is a very competitive season and we're seeing, you know, new competitors sort of enter that arena. Like I'm looking at a guy again, like Lance. And I think that is sort of a sign of, and when you look at Foreshard as well last season, of what activity and engagement can do. So let's keep growing the game and let's continue to communicate and good luck, everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I noticed
except against me.
Oh, yeah. I noticed players are more and more paying attention to really small details. And I think the average level of competitive player is much higher, especially agreed. Compared to the first season I came back. I think it was in January, right? But that shorter season, I feel like it didn't require that much effort to win. But now this season requires effort every day. And sometimes, even if you put in effort every day, you might not win. So it's definitely way more competitive now and way more enjoyable. Because like the whole appeal of HD is playing against really smart people that think about stuff that you never thought about. Like I never thought Jib would do this with the 11 attacks and 27. I just didn't think it was a thing.
Right.
And then he just was like, no, it's a thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So tons of smart people making smart decisions consistently. That's what you're up against in HD. I think that's why it's so good.
Yeah.
All right. We good?
Yeah, we're good.
We won our attacks today. Having a good night. Shiny hasn't played.
Yeah, logging on to see you, Max L, was just like, oh man, I gotta do it again. Like, that speaks to the competitive nature of what HD is, right? You log on every day and you're like, all right, what did Foreshard do today? What did CE3 do today? Oh shit, they maxed out. All right, let's lock in. Let's get to the spies. And, you know, it's a lot more of that. A lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, peace, guys. It's been fun.
All right.
See you next week.
Good luck, everyone.
We will not lose any attacks.
No promises. I might get crit tomorrow.
By me.